coming after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. running after. It's running after me.
Lord Jesus, we just lay down our life. We just surrender. We just surrender to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, if we want to experience your true goodness, all that you have, Lord, would take surrender. Lord, we just put, just lay it down. We just lay it down. Lay it down. Today, where your heart is right now. This song, when I first heard it, it really hit me because I can relate to this. But he's worthy.
I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. 'Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. And I'm gonna live like my King is risen. Gonna preach to my soul that you've already won. And even though I can't see it, I'm gonna keep believing that every promise you make is as good as done. I give you my word. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. You're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy. Oh, you're worthy. When I sat by that hospital bed, you were worthy. When she could barely lift her head, you were worthy. And after all those tears were shed, you were worthy. Stop singing your praise. No, I'll never stop singing your praise. And in the blessing and the pain, you are worthy. Whether you say yes or no or wait, you are worthy. Through it all, I choose to say, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. No, I'll never stop.
stop singing your praise. And when I finally see your face, I'll cry worthy. And when you wipe those tears away, I'll cry worthy. Above every other name, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. No, I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. Oh, I'll never stop singing your praise. I give you my worship, 'cause you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy. I'll pour out your praises in blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Forever you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Forever you're worthy of my song. You're worthy, you're worthy. Jesus, you're worthy of my song. When I finally see your face, I'll cry worthy. When you wipe these tears away, I'll cry worthy. And above every other name, you are worthy. I'll never stop singing your praise. No, I'll never stop singing your praise. Oh, I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. I'll never stop singing your praise. Let's just repeat that. No, I'll never stop singing your praise. 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 Thank you. This next song, it's a bit of a different style here, but I was playing earlier in the week, just playing my guitar, and this song just popped out of my guitar. I don't know what happened. I just was playing, and all of a sudden I was singing this old hymn, and I was like, okay, God, how does this fit? I don't know how this fits, and God doesn't seem to care how it fits. I just think this is a word for us here. The person who wrote this 150, 200 years ago, it's still so true today. This is our response here to His glory, to His goodness. This is a response to His faithfulness. This is our obedience to Him.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt, no. No other way
Trust you this morning, this evening. We just declare our trust. Just say that out loud. Lord, we trust you. Just shout it out. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we trust you. We want to obey you. Lord, we trust you. You have been faithful. You are good. You have proven yourself time and time again. You are good. And we trust you. You have good in store. No matter what you're asking from us, Lord, help us. Help me. Help me to trust you more, to obey you more. I thank you for this conference. I thank you for the word Steve's giving of obeying and trusting you. You are good.
Let's do that chorus one more time.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
you can take a seat. But I want a few moments of silence. Anything I have to say deserves to be a brief delay. We spent the last 50 minutes seeking to push through, enter in. I'm not sure if you get this seemingly contradiction. On the one hand, you want to look into the face of God. On the other hand, he's such a holy God, you don't dare. That's the environment here tonight. It's both. Because what he redeemed us from is so amazing. It's like, God, why me? Why us? And yet he says, son, daughter, look at me. I'm your daddy. I'm your friend. And that's the environment here tonight. Let's not pretend. It's real. Well, we can't outsing the angels, but they can't sing of redemption like we can. We'll never hold pitch like they can hold a pitch. Hit the high notes and low notes so perfectly. But we have hearts that are redeemed. I think of Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy. Revelation 4 or 5, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Peter that says, Jesus, get away from me, I'm a sinful man. So by faith, we look. We have an open heaven here tonight. We're touching the kingdom. I don't know how far we're in, but we're touching the kingdom. Heaven on earth, the kingdom of God. Just in brief transition, Steve shared last night, he shared this morning at men's breakfast, and some of you were there, some of you, maybe it's your first time here tonight. Steve lives in Drayton Valley with his wife and five children. He's a workman, but he's a worshiper. And we want to show a two-minute clip, so go ahead and Janae, of another place of worship out in the bush. Who would have known?
We can gather people in the wilderness. God said he would minister.
July 2023 is the next event. They had three this past year. So if you want to sow into a place where God is working, where people get refreshed, restored, broken, lay down their lives, you have the opportunity to do so through one of the four ways they'll show up in a minute. You can pay cash, you can write a check, you can use a debit machine, or e-transfer to the address up there. And what you'll be doing is donating to the altar. Their next plan is to build like a barn-like structure that seats about 300 people. And altogether, you're going to need about $1 million to fully develop this quarter section. And they're approximately, Steve's about $150,000 on the way. So if this is something you think it's worth investing in for the kingdom, you can do it through free grace through one of those ways on the screen. I want to thank the worship team here tonight. Let's give them a hand. We had awesome worship last night. We had awesome worship tonight. And thank you for responding to what was happening up here. It feeds the team up here. And this place has a presence again like last night. And we're waiting what God has next. So, Steve, when you're ready, will you please come up and share the word of the Lord that you have for us tonight. Can I pray for you? All right. Oh, he's got his glasses, his new glasses. He didn't even get clean them. They're clean. Father, we thank you for this man of God. We thank you that he's laid down his life for you. And we thank you that he's a broken vessel, a cracked pot. And thank you, Lord, that you leak out of him all over. Thank you that where his feet go is where you want him to go. And that his heart is already there. We thank you how his mind is being transformed. Thank you how he's an example of what it means to be all in. We bless him tonight. We thank you for him. We thank you for his wife allowing him to go and his kids at home. But Father, for this next while, we commit him to you. Lord, he really only has an audience of one, which is you. Let him break loose, even beyond what Steve would normally do. Cut him loose. Let him not hold back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Wow, praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful time of worship with the Lord. Wasn't that beautiful? Boy, you guys don't have any lack of worship leaders in this place. I mean, just amazing worship teams. I'm just so thankful for their sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And just even seeing you guys. How many are just, you're soaring a little higher tonight than usual? Hallelujah. Giving a little bit more. I'll tell you something. The Bible says that God is enthroned on the praises of his people, which means he builds his throne on your praise. So how big of a throne could he even possibly build in your life if you have no praise, if you're not a worshiper? To live a kingdom life, to encounter the kingdom of God, to be a kingdom man or to be a kingdom woman, you absolutely have to make room for the king and for his throne. And so as you pursue him, as you desire more of him, recognize that reading more books is not the key. Although I'd love to sell you more books. If you didn't get my two books, they're back there. It's not about reading more books, okay? There's a lot of people who have encountered the kingdom who never read my book. I'll tell you something. It's you loving him well, giving him your whole heart. It's worshiping him. As you press into him, as you draw close to him, as you make worship a part of your daily life, you make room for the king and his throne. And you will see the king and his kingdom manifesting in your life more and more and more. It was just beautiful. Where is Cam? Very back. Cam. That was wonderful. Thanks for even just doing that hymn at the end, just following the Lord on that. Wasn't that a beautiful hymn? You know, sometimes it's just one of those old hymns that just nails it right. I've had a couple hymns knocking around in my spirit for the last few months that I just keep singing over and over again. But I might have that one now as well. I love that. I was Googling it so I'd have the words. I love this. Listen to this. I won't sing for you. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet. Who wants to know the Lord like that? Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, obedience. You know, I had a young lady come up to me, 14 years old, yesterday, tears in her eyes, just weeping. So many people just really pressing in last night. We were here till after 11 o'clock. I have a problem. I'm a hugger. And sometimes these hugs just last a really long time. It's interesting. When I was younger, I was always very isolated. I lived in what's called a spiritual prison. If you read my book, Dawit's Galbi, how many were not here last night? Is your first service? Okay, a few of you. Anyways, I got two books back there I'll tell you about. This is about the kingdom of God. I don't even try to teach. We're having a conference on the kingdom, I don't even try to get through all this. There's not a chance I can. What I really want to do is just go with the flow, let the Holy Spirit move, and hopefully you'll encounter a little bit of the kingdom, which I believe we did last night. I believe the kingdom of God was rubbing up against some people. I believe that some people were sliding right in and that the kingdom of God was impacting. But if you want to get a revelation of it, I'd encourage you to get that book. But this one here, and this one here is a lot of my most personal life stories. I haven't done the audio version yet because I can't read it without crying, and I don't want to be sobbing through the audio version. I like to do my own audio versions. But in this one, I talk about how I used to live in a spiritual prison until 1999. I was a very isolated person. I lived. I didn't have close friends. I couldn't date. I was a very awkward individual. And the Lord, through intercession, an intercessor stood in the gap for me, and I had an instant breakthrough. And literally in a day, I went from a guy who just couldn't connect with people to a guy who hugged everything that moved. And literally, I've hugged light poles. When I run out of people, I just find something, you know. And since then, literally 23 years, that's as weird as it sounds, hugging actually has been a really big part of my ministry. I minister to people. Sometimes I don't even... sometimes people come up and for nothing to do with anything that I said, but I just hug them and they'll just melt and break and God will heal them. And I've seen this happen over and over and over again. But many people live in spiritual prisons. And when you break free from those things, you'll be surprised. You might just be someone very different than you would imagine. But I had a young girl come up here last night and she was, we had a good hug and a good cry. But she was just asking me about the kingdom of God, and she was saying it just seems so impossible to get in. You know, she's so hungry to get in. But she was looking at on page 29 of my book, I have a list of this is just the scriptures of all the things that the New Testament says, all the people who cannot enter the kingdom of God. And she looks at that list and she's like, I want him so much, but there's no hope. And I went, whoa, let me tell you something. We don't enter the kingdom of God by following a list of rules. All right? We don't encounter the presence of God because, people, Jesus said in John 15, 14, he says, John 15, 14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Now, many translations actually leave off that last word, you. It's in the Greek, hymen, you. But many leave it out. They just say, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I know the NIV actually left it out. And so when you hear that, you're my friends if you do what I command, then what do? You look at all the commands of Christ. And you line them all up and you write them all down. And here you go. There's the 50 commands or maybe the 100 different people have different lists. Some of them are repeated. But you might find the 100 commands of Christ. And then you kind of assume that if you can follow all these rules, then Jesus will consider you a friend. That is not what he said. That is like New Testament Pharisaism, where we try to live by rules. This is what he said. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Which means I am going to speak to you. And if you draw close to me, I'll whisper to you. I'll speak to you. I'm going to ask you for things. And if you say yes to me, we'll walk together. If you say no to me, well, I still love you, but... that's where you're going to stay. And each one of us, this is what the kingdom life is. It's not, oh, look at, here's the 17 rules I have to follow and then God will let me in the kingdom. No. When you say yes to God, whatever he's speaking to you in your heart, you are beginning to live that kingdom life. And you know what? He doesn't clean us up in a week. You know, it's a lifelong journey. But the Bible says, as I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus purifies me from all sin. As I walk in the light, as he is in the light, which means God doesn't shine a light on everything, okay? But he'll shine a light on something. And as you surrender and say yes to him, as you obey him, you are living a kingdom life. You are walking. And certainly, it does get better as you go. But I just want you to know, don't start to think. When you hear some of this stuff, you know, you hear me preaching on the kingdom, some people just, you know, just put this, they just imagine this bar so high, well, I'll never reach it anyway, so why bother even try? You know what? You say yes to God today, and you're going to be tapping into the kingdom tomorrow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time I'm having here. You know, I don't actually go to a lot of new places. I don't travel as much as I might like to, but sometimes, to be honest, like 80 to 90% of the ministry that I do is just in places where I already have preached and where I already have relationship. And so, but I just want you to know, I was just thinking today, I am so glad I said yes to come here. You guys are just absolutely wonderful. And just your hungry hearts, you know, just pulling the word out. And I'm just so thankful, and I'm just so grateful for you, Pastor Bill, for not giving up on me. I know it wasn't always easy, but thank you so much. And just for the way you've trusted me with these people and the way you've honored. I thank you that you're building a kingdom culture here. These are not people who are new to the idea of the kingdom of God. We were able to hit the ground running, because there's already a kingdom culture in this place. And I'm just excited to see what God is going to do in this church and in this city in the days to come, as you each take hold of your own individual walk with the Lord Jesus in a greater way, as you begin to say yes to him in a greater way, as his throne begins to be enlarged in your life. Hallelujah. So yesterday we talked about the kingdom of God, and I hope that by the grace of God I've convinced you that the kingdom of God is not a place that you go after you die, but it's something that we're invited to enter into while we live. What I want to talk about tonight is the name of the Lord, and the reason I want to talk about the name of the Lord is because the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord are two sides of the same coin. And just as when you have an understanding of the kingdom of God and how, when you understand that the kingdom is on earth and not a place you go after you die, scriptures just begin to change right in front of you. The same is true with the name of the Lord. When you really understand the name of the Lord and what the name of the Lord is, it will absolutely transform the way you read your Bible. And you will find, and I pray that when after this message, you will never read the Bible the same way again. That every time you see the name of the Lord, any emphasis on the name, praying in the name, entering into the name, you will forever see the scriptures in a whole new way. And it will cause you to enter into glory like never before. This is a... I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14 if you got your Bibles. Who's got your Bible with you? Did anybody still bring Bibles to church? Hallelujah. Turn to John 14. Hallelujah. I did want to say one more thing too. I don't even know where she was. I won't point her out. But this young girl who came up here, and she was just weeping. I want to tell you something. The kingdom of God, how in the world does anyone ever measure up to what Jesus said, the way we'd have to live to actually enter the kingdom of God? I want you to know, it's all by grace. Okay? Everything is grace. It's not hard work. It feels like work some days, but I mean, it's not hard work. It's not gritting your teeth. It is by grace. And it's a very particular type of grace. It's a grace called righteousness. Righteousness. And I want to tell you something. Righteousness is a free gift. Righteousness is not something that you get by doing everything right. You know, righteousness is a free gift, but I'll tell you this, and a lot of Christians don't know this. Righteousness is a free gift that most people don't want and most people don't accept. Just like many of God's gifts. You know, healing is a gift, but we still have to receive it. You know, and salvation is a gift, but we have to receive it. And there's many gifts of the Spirit that we still have to contend for, we ask for, we pray for, but we have to receive it. And the same is true with righteousness. And so there's a lot of teaching right now in the church that basically says, Don't worry about it. Everybody's righteous. Are you a Christian? Did you say the prayer? Oh, don't worry. You're righteous. That's not true. Righteousness is still something that we have to want, we have to desire, we have to receive. The Bible says in Romans 5:17, it says, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life?" Let me tell you something. Those who receive, this is what he said, those who receive the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You know, many people weeping at the altar, "God, this time I really mean it. God, this time I'm going to try really, really hard. God, I'm laying this sin down for the 800th time, but this time I'm really, 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 really serious." And you know why we so many times go back and just fall back into the same thing? Is because we thought it was a matter of us trying a little bit harder. And it had everything, it has nothing to do with you trying, and it has everything to do with receiving a gift called righteousness. And when you'll hear me, when I'm praying for people at the altar, I'll often say, "I just release right now the grace and the gift of righteousness." Why? Because when righteousness comes on you, it actually empowers you to live right. How do you know you got it? Because you're not staying up till one looking at porn anymore. And if you are, it means you haven't received it yet. How do you know you've received the gift of righteousness? Because you're not gossiping anymore. You're not greedy anymore. And you know what? It seems like we get this gift. Sometimes we'll get it in one area of our lives, but we don't get it in every area of our life. But when you come to the Lord, and many of you, even tonight, as you come to the altar to do business with God, I want to encourage you to be asking, "God, give me the gift of righteousness." Don't be one of these Christians walking around with all sorts of sin in their lives saying, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ." Amen. You know, we quote that scripture, we always leave out the word "might." Did you ever read that? It says that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Let me tell you something. John said this. He was Jesus' best friend, and he understood this stuff. He said, this is 1 John 3:7. He said, "Don't let anyone deceive you in this." And he knew that there would be deceiving teaching. He said, "Don't let anyone deceive you. He who does what is right is righteous." Say amen or say oh my. I know a couple of you disagree with me because your favorite preacher says the opposite. That's all right. I'm just going to preach the word anyway here. He who does what is right is righteous. And he who does what is sinful is of the devil. Even if he's a Christian. You say, Christians can be of the devil? Oh yeah, I know lots of them. Their lives are hell. They may be going to heaven when they die, but right now their lives are full of sin. He who does what is right is righteous. But Steve, I thought you said that doing right doesn't make you righteous. It doesn't. You can do everything right, that won't make you righteous. But I'll tell you this, if you receive the gift of righteousness, you will have the power to live a righteous, holy life. And I could look back and I could tell you times in my life, seasons of my life, where finally after trying and trying and trying, and then God just gave me this gift called righteousness, and boom, never struggled with that another day of my life. And there's an anointing tonight for you to receive righteousness. And you will leave this place. If you receive it, if you want it, if you hunger for it, what does it say? They hunger and thirst for. They don't walk around saying, "Yeah, I already got it." No, no, no. You've got to want this one. It's like people who think they're full of the Holy Spirit when they're not. Well, then you're not going to pursue it. That's the greatest lie the devil will tell people, is he tells you you already have something that you don't. If you think you have it, you won't pursue it. But if you pursue it and you say, "God, I'm hungering for more of your righteousness. Fill me. Give me righteousness. I want to live above this stuff." He'll give it to you, and you will soar above it. And guess who gets all the credit and all the glory? Not you, but him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get to where were we going? John 14, yeah. So John 14, I want to talk about the name of the Lord tonight. And John 14, I was reading this a number of years ago, and I got to verse 14, and I remember, have you ever read a verse where you read it, but you kind of chuckled and kind of wished it was true? Like, ever read any verses in the Bible, you just said, "That's a hard one to believe." You know, Like I really try to believe them all, but there's a couple that are just, oh, too much, okay? I'm reading through John 14 a number of years ago, and I get to verse 14, and this is what John 14:14 says. Ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. I remember reading that. Ask me, Jesus says these words. It's written in red, so it has to be true, right? He says, ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. And I read that verse, and I remember just kind of chuckling, saying, God, I wish. And then I kept on reading. And have you ever felt the frown of the Holy Spirit? When all of a sudden, I could just, God got serious. And it was just like I could feel the frown. And I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. I shouldn't joke about that. But it's just that, you know, you said, ask me for anything in my name, and I'll just do it. You make it sound so easy. But here's the thing, Lord, no offense. I don't hold it against you or anything, you know. But I'm just going to say, I've asked you for thousands of things in your name, and you don't always do it. Is there anyone else here who you could say there was a time or one time or maybe like 500 times you asked for something, and you're very carefully remembered to say at the end of your prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. Does anyone else end their prayers that way? You know, a couple of you. Okay. And so you ask for something, and then you know you remember to say in Jesus' name, amen, at the end, and then he didn't do it. Anyone? Anyone? Okay, good. I'm not alone. I'm not alone here. And this is, I'm having this truth talk with God, you know, because we have these truth talks. I said, I love you. I'm not going to hold it against you, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I said this, Lord, I don't even know why you'd say that. You know, you're not like some politician that you need to lie. You don't need my vote. Why do you even say things that bold if it isn't true all the time? You know, I ask for lots of things in your name. You don't ever always do it. In that moment, I instantly heard the Holy Spirit say on the inside of me, Steve, you don't know the first thing about asking in my name. You don't know the first thing about asking in my name. And I said, well, then you'll just have to show me. You know, I'm looking at other scriptures. There's other verses that say things that are similar that I never had a problem with. John 15:7 is one. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Now that I can believe, because for me I go, well, if I pray and nothing happens, well, then I can assume that I'm not abiding in his word enough, or that his word isn't abiding in me, and so maybe I need more of the word. And so I can take the blame for that, and God gets to save face. Isn't that nice of me? You know, I'm a kind person. You know, it's just, Lord, it was me. It's my fault. It's not your fault. John 15:7 is easy for me to believe. Another one is 1 John 3:21. It's very similar. It's one of these verses that says you can have anything. But it says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, if, there's an if. See, this one has an if. So did the other one. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and we receive anything we ask because we do what pleases him. We keep his commands and do what pleases him. Well, I can believe that too, because if I pray and nothing happens, I can just assume I didn't keep his commands, which I often don't, and I probably am not living in a way that's totally pleasing to him, and maybe my heart condemned me. So once again, God can save face, because his word is true. Here's another one, Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it'll be yours. It's another big one. Just ask for anything you want, and if you believe that it's a done deal, it'll be done. But once again, there's an if. If nothing happens, I could say, well, I guess I didn't believe. I didn't have enough faith, right? Matthew 21:22 is another one. There's a lot of these verses that just seem like big blank checks. It's not even ask for my will. It's what do you want? Name it. Here it says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. But once again, there's a condition. What is that? If you believe, there's a condition. You have to have faith. But John 14:14 stumped me, because there is no if and or but. It's just this big, huge blank check that says, ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. And I said, God, I don't know how to believe that when I have a track record of apparently proving that verse to be wrong hundreds of times. And as I was having this truth talk with God, this old song came bubbling up inside of me. And it went like this. Maybe some of you have heard it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. You know, that's actually from the Bible. It's Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And I'm sitting there having this truth talk with God. This song comes above. The name of the Lord, Steve, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. And as I started thinking about that, I realized maybe the name of the Lord, maybe to me, the name of the Lord was always just syllables. And I think that's what a lot of people think, is when they hear the name of the Lord, if I ask, what is the name of the Lord? You probably say, the name of the Lord is Jesus, or Yeshua, or Yahweh, or Jehovah. What is the name of the Lord? We often think of syllables. My name is Stephen. It's just two syllables. But the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that people can actually run into it. And if the name of the Lord is a strong tower, then that means that the name of the Lord is more than syllables. Because you can't run into syllables. You can't run into Stephen. The name of the Lord, if it's a strong tower, then the name of the Lord is actually a place. Hello? Which means I could actually, let's imagine there's a tower right here. That means I could actually stand inside of it, and then I would be in the name of the Lord, or I could stand outside of it, and I would be not in the name of the Lord, even if I said, in the name of Jesus. Is it possible that the name of the Lord is actually a place? And if it was actually a place or a realm, how would that change so many of the scriptures that we look at? Listen to this. All through the Bible, we find the name of the Lord being spoken about in ways that it's more than syllables. It says we are to praise the name of the Lord. Do we praise syllables? It is to magnify the name of the Lord, worship the name of the Lord, believe the name of the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord, fear the name of the Lord. Who's afraid of syllables? You remember the movie Lion King? Anyone watch that one? And then there was those hyenas. And one said, Mufasa. And the other one, ooh, don't even say that name. Do you remember that? And the other one said, Mufasa. Ooh. Mufasa, Mufasa. Ooh, don't say that name. Is that what God wants from us? Is that we would be terrified when we hear those syllables? No, it has nothing to do with being terrified of syllables. The name of the Lord is more than syllables. The name of the Lord is a place. Listen to this. This is 1 Kings 8, verse 17 to 20. Now it was in the heart, this is Solomon speaking, now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. Say, house for a name. Have you ever built a house for a name? Why would anyone build a house for a name? Imagine if I built a house, you know, a big, beautiful home. Like right now, my wife and I, we live in this very small little 1,100 square foot townhouse with our five children. We're very cozy. The Lord has something else for us in the future, but in this season, this is what he has us in, living very simply so that we can build something for him out at the altar. But imagine if I built her a big, beautiful home. And then she went to walk in, and I said, wait a minute, this isn't for you. This is for your name. What would she think? Get out of my way, you idiot. You know, you don't build houses for names. Names don't need houses. People need houses. But this is what it says. We read these verses, we don't think anything weird about it, but this is weird. This is weird. It says, now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, it's not, you shall not build a house for my, but your son will, who is born to you, he will build a house for my name. So David's dream, David's goal was to build a house for a name. But then God says, no, I'm going to get your boy to do it. And then Solomon does build this big house. He builds it for the name. But what's interesting is in 2 Chronicles 7:1, when Solomon's finished building the house for the name of the Lord, listen to this. It says, and then the fire fall from heaven after he finished praying. And it says that the glory of the Lord filled the house. Hello. Solomon built a house for the name of the Lord, and glory moved in. I'll say that again. They built a house for the name, but what moved in?
Glory.
Why? Because that's what the name of the Lord is. The name of the Lord is the glory of the Lord. That's what it is. And if you understand that, it will change the way you read hundreds of scriptures throughout the Bible. Listen to this one. Here's the one. There's scriptures that never made sense to me before I saw this. John 17:11, Jesus says, Holy Father, keep them in your name. He's praying for the disciples. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name which you have given me. Does that make any sense? If the name of the Lord is syllables, what is he talking about? Holy Father, keep them in your syllables. While I was with them, I was keeping them in the right syllables. Is that what Jesus said? No, he said, Father, keep them in the glory. Hallelujah! That's kind of exciting. Keep them in the glory. While I was with them, I was keeping them in the glory. Did I step on your toe?
No.
Oh, okay. While I was with them, I was keeping them in the glory. Keep them in the glory. Do you know we need to be kept in the glory? Listen to this, John 17:26. I have made your name, he's praying. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. This is Jesus. I have made your name known to them. Well, what did they not know his name? Was he talking about Yahweh or Jehovah or Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Sneaky, or which of his names was he talking about? I've made your name known to. He wasn't talking about any of the syllables. He was talking about the glory. He says, I've made your glory known to them, and I'm going to make your glory known to them again. Hallelujah. We need to be like Moses, who says, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how can it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by you going with us, so that I and your people may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? See, Moses, he was dead set on not going anywhere unless the glory went with him. And when we go places, when we build things, we need to be dead set on the glory going with us. And when we understand that the name of the Lord is the glory of the Lord, then scriptures like John 14:14 make sense. You can actually take them to the bank, because Jesus didn't say, make sure when you say your prayers that at the end you say a little in Jesus' name, amen, because that's the magic word, and then I have to do what you say. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, ask me for anything in my glory, and I'll do it. But you got to get into the glory first. And that's not always as easy as you might think. And this is where you need to understand that the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord are two and the same. And every time Jesus is saying, unless you have a childlike heart, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want you to know, he's saying the same thing, the kingdom and the name. He said, unless you have a childlike heart, you cannot enter that strong tower. Because if you get inside that tower, you can ask for anything and it'll happen. But he doesn't let certain people in there. And so he has to come and work in your heart through grace. And through grace, he begins to cultivate in you a childlike heart. He begins to cultivate in you a bigger yes, a surrender to him. Stuff that used to pull you down, chains that used to bind you, suddenly, you know, sometimes you'll look back and you go, man, I didn't even notice that that fell off of me. That was like 3 weeks since I've struggled with that. How did that happen? Grace. It's grace. And then you start sliding into this place called the name of the Lord, the kingdom of God. You say, Steve, are you saying? I am saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord are the same thing. Let me show you a scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 19. I'll prove it to you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 29. Now, this is the story of the rich young ruler. He comes. You guys know the story. He says, what can I do to get eternal life? Jesus tells him, you know, follow some rules. Turns out he wants more than that. So then he preaches the kingdom. Jesus says, sell it all. He says, whoa, that's too much money. I can't do that. He walks away sad. Jesus says, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Well, after that, after the rich young ruler walks away, Peter says to him, this is verse 27, Matthew 19:27. Peter says, behold, we've left everything and followed you. What will there be for us? And Jesus said, truly I say to you, you have followed me in the regeneration on the Son, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. You also shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my namesake. Say namesake. Namesake. For my namesake. Everyone who's basically lost a whole bunch of stuff for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. Matthew, when he records Jesus' answer to Peter, he makes it very clear. Basically, Jesus says, anyone who loses a whole bunch of stuff for my name's sake, they're going to get blessed because of it. Now jump over to Luke. Luke, that was 19:29. Let's go to Luke 18:29. Luke 18:29 tells the same story, the exact same story. Earlier, before 29, you get the story of the rich young ruler. He comes, he denies the Lord, he walks away sad. Verse 28 says, Peter said, behold, we've left our own homes and followed you. And he said to them, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. Whoa. We found a flaw in the word of God. Because Matthew said that he said, no one who lost all this stuff for the sake of the name. And here Luke is saying, for the sake of the kingdom of God will receive many times as much in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Now why? There's the same story. It's the same question. It happened on the same day. It was just after the rich young ruler leaves. Peter asks the question. Jesus answers. But in Matthew's account, he says the name. But in Luke's account, he uses the kingdom. One of two things happens. Either one of the two guys messed it up and got it wrong, or the kingdom and the name mean the exact same thing. And I'll tell you exactly what he did say. He said kingdom. But Matthew had a habit of changing it. I don't know if you've ever studied this, but have you ever noticed that the word kingdom of heaven is only found in the book of Matthew? Anyone ever notice that? It's not found in Mark, Luke, John. The reason is because Jesus always said kingdom of God. That's what he said. He said kingdom of God. But Matthew, instead of writing it as kingdom of God, he was writing to Jews. This is at least what many theologians, this is a struggle of theologians. Why did Matthew always change it? to something other than kingdom of God. He would always change it. And the reason that many people say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but this is what a lot of guys say, and I think it might be likely, is that Matthew, because he was writing to Jews, and they didn't like to write the word God a lot. It was kind of a very holy taboo thing. You're not supposed to be writing God and saying it all the time. They would actually use abbreviations for the name, Yahweh. And so rather than saying God, Matthew would change it to some other word that meant exactly the same thing. So most of the time, he does use the phrase kingdom of God like three or four times, but most of the time, Matthew would change it. When Jesus said kingdom of God, Matthew would say kingdom of heaven. But this time, instead of kingdom of God, he changed it to the name, which means he picked something else that meant the exact same thing. And it makes so much sense when you look at scriptures throughout the Bible, because really the same requirements that it takes to enter into the kingdom of God are very much the same requirements that are, it's just a really challenging thing to enter into the name of the Lord. And so when you understand that, you realize how important is it, how important is worship even? If the name of the Lord is the glory of God, how many during worship you can feel his presence? Hello? Can I get a keyboardist up here again? Join me. Whoever's playing keyboard tonight. Yeah. Come on up. But even during worship, you know, when you get into that place, you'll feel his presence. Sometimes it's thin, sometimes it's thick, but I'll tell you something. When we get into worship first, it's one of the most important and one of the best things you can do for your prayer life is start to get into worship. You just play real quiet. Because in worship, that's where that glory atmosphere starts to swirl. I remember one time I was praying for my mother-in-law. She was in the hospital, and she was in bad shape. And I was driving to church, and while I was driving to church, I started to pray for her. God, I would just pray that you'd touch Cheryl and minister to her. And while I was driving, I felt the Holy Spirit convict me and just say, wait a minute, wait till you get to the service, wait till you get into worship, wait until you get into a real high place in worship, and then pray for her. And so I waited until I got to the service, and I don't know why, I want to go back to that song. What was that song you guys were singing earlier? Can you play quietly, Your Goodness is Running After Me, that one? Thank you. Sorry to be picky. But Cheryl, I got into worship and I just started pressing in. I started worshiping the Lord and I was just getting in as deep as I could. And there became a point in worship where I could really sense his presence. And when I could sense his presence, I felt the Lord say, now pray for her. And I prayed for her in the name of Jesus. I said, I just pray for my mother-in-law right now that you would touch her, that you would heal her. And when I left the service, I was driving home and she called me up. I called her. But I said, how are you doing? And she said, something just broke like about 45 minutes ago. Just something broke. And I knew it was right when I had prayed for her during worship. Enter into the name. It's like, I really think about that. I often think about that strong tower. I often think about that strong tower. That it takes time. It takes patience. It takes waiting. But I'm going to take the time to wait and to break into that place. Because when you enter in, when you enter into the name of the Lord, that is where the breakthroughs take place. I remember one time I was in my basement and I'd been praying all morning. I'd been seeking the Lord, trying to just draw close to him. I'm sorry, I don't know. I'm finding maybe the music is throwing me off now. Sorry, not your fault. I'm in a weird place. Maybe I'll just get you to stop, but don't leave yet. Just don't leave yet. Steve's being Steve right now. Have you ever seen Benny Hinn? He's so yes. Tweaky. I just kind of have to follow atmospheres. And so I just want to tell this story, and I think I just need a little more quiet for it. But I was in my basement, and I'd been praying all morning, and I'd been seeking the Lord. And I'd really been trying to break in to the kingdom. I'd been crying out to God about the name of the Lord. And would you help me? And I couldn't, I just knew I wasn't breaking through. And finally it was noon and I had to go to work. And so I came upstairs because it was time to go to work. And I'm walking through my bedroom. And as I'm walking through my bedroom, I stepped into something. It was literally, I was done praying. I wasn't even thinking about prayer anymore. But as I was walking through the bedroom, I just stepped into something and it felt, and it was thick. It was just, I knew I stepped into the presence of the Lord or something. I just knew it. I was tingling from top to from head to toe. As I'm standing there just buzzing, I said, Lord, whoa, where were you downstairs? You know, here I've been praying all morning and now I have to go to work. And here he was. And so I stopped and I just waited in this presence. And I'd just been kind of meditating on this stuff, on the kingdom of God and the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord, how do you know if you're in the kingdom of God? You know, because I'm not one of these, like I think I explained yesterday, entering in is a very big deal. It's not something, we don't live in the kingdom of God every day. We touch it, we get tapped, we get zapped, we get shocked. When you enter into the kingdom of God, it's a very significant moment. When you enter into the name of the Lord, you're in a very special place. It's not every day, at least not for me. And I said, as I stepped in, I could feel the presence of God all around me. And I said, Lord, how do I know if I'm in? Because I'm feeling something very significant. And the Holy Spirit said, you could ask for anything and I'll do it. And I said, next question was, Lord, am I in right now? And instantly I heard the Lord say, yes. I thought I won the lottery. I was like, okay, when you're in, you can ask for anything. And you're saying I'm in right now. Yes. Well, instantly I thought, I got to ask for something quick before I'm out. You know, I don't know how much time I have. Do I have 5 seconds, three? I wish I had asked for world peace, but... I'll just confess that the first thing that came to my mind, we were struggling financially. We had, for weeks, we had been in a really tough spot. Our business was we own an oil field rental company. Things were really slow. The phone hadn't rang in weeks. And so my first thought was, Lord, I need money. So I'm just going to pray for some work. And so I said, this is what I was going to pray. I was going to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking right now. I wanted to make it kind of difficult so that I knew if it was the Lord, you know? Make it challenging. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking right now that my phone would ring, that it would be a brand new customer. That's rare, especially when my phone hasn't rung in weeks. There would be a brand new customer, and I want him to ask for a combo unit and an office trailer. Now that's specific, okay? Combo unit and an office trailer. These are the things that we rent. So, but as I'm praying the prayer, I felt the Holy Spirit tweak my prayer. And he says, no, don't ask for a combo unit and an office. Ask for a combo unit and a light tower, which would make me more money, but it didn't make sense because a combo has a light tower on it, so he could get two light towers, which would be very rare, especially in the summer, and this was summer. But anyways, that actually just taught me something, too, about the Lord. When you enter the name of the Lord, you don't get to ask for whatever you want. You get into that place, and you think you're going to ask for a Ferrari, and you say, dear Lord, give me a greater sense of brokenness. No, wait! Yeah. He sort of just takes over, you know? So when you enter that place, you're going to say what he wants you to say. But so I hear the Lord say, no, don't ask for that, ask for this. And so I asked this, I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking the angels would be released right now, that a new customer would call, and that he would ask for a combo unit and a light tower. And then I actually did this. This is a true story. I took a deep breath, and I held my breath, and this was my request. I want this prayer answered before I take my next breath. Well, you need to know the statistical odds of a new customer even calling during that. I lasted 90 seconds, I think. The statistical odds of a new customer, we don't get a lot of new customers. It's always old customers calling. A new customer, and for him to ask for something that specific, literally beyond impossible. But I held my breath for about 90 seconds, and then... Nothing. And I remember when I exhaled, I was so utterly, and this presence, this glory that I had been in, it just dissipated instantly. And I was like, ah, nuts. I really thought I was onto something there, you know? And I took one step from where I was standing, and my phone rang. This is a true story. I took one step, and my phone rang, and my heart just skipped a beat. I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I said, Lord, you're 10 seconds late, but if this is a brand new customer asking for a combo unit and a light tower, I'm still calling this a goal for you, okay? I'm going to call it a goal. But it has to be a new customer, so I'm going to look at my phone now. It has to be a number I don't recognize. Oh, it's my wife. I'm so disappointed. The presence is gone. The glory is gone. The buzz is gone. The tingles are gone. Ugh. You know, you think God's talking to you. I answered my phone. Hey, baby, how's it going? I'll never forget this. This is a true story. I forgot that the Zinger phone, was forwarded to her. And so I'll never forget. This is what I heard on there. I said, hey, baby, how's it going? She went, woohoo, you'll never believe it. I just got a call from a brand new customer. He wants a combo unit and a light tower. You've enjoyed me now. Thanks. A combo. I stood there. I said, I got to go. And I just started sobbing. I said, like, not just because of the money, but it worked. Are you kidding me? Like, do you know this? The odds? It probably happened while I was holding my breath, because it would have taken her that much time to make a note and then call me. Like, while I was holding my breath, God answered, just like he said he would. And Jesus said, ask me for anything in my name. Ask me for anything in my glory, and I'll do it. It's a done deal. But if you ask me outside of that strong tower, well, you know, it's kind of hit or miss. Sometimes we get it, and sometimes we don't. And the reason why God is calling us to be a people who worship wholeheartedly is because that's how you get that atmosphere flowing. That's how you create that atmosphere. That's how you enter into his glory. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. As we worship him, as we praise him, as we give him our hearts, the glory starts to move. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be a place where people are going to come, and they're going to be touched by God. They're going to be healed by God. They're going to be delivered by God. And sometimes it's not going to have anything to do with them. It's going to have everything to do with the fact that you worshiped your butt off for an hour before they walked the aisle and stepped into that strong tower. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. So, so good. You want to sing it? Go ahead. I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. Listen to this. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. Say that again. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. Your goodness is running out. You know what? There's stuff that we've been asking for. There's stuff that we've been longing for. There are people that need breakthrough in our lives. Can you imagine if that's all it takes is a people who press in, who worship, who seek Him? Every great revival in the past, you'll always see this. People who learn how to pray, who learn how to worship, learn how to praise. That's why I said, even to Sam when he first called, he said, how long do you want to do? You know, and friends, we have to learn how to stretch our appetites. I realized when he got two services on a Sunday morning, it is what it is. But friends, I just honor you for coming out. We're going to go into worship here in just a few minutes and press in a little bit further. And what's going to happen is we're going to create a kingdom swirl. Not because Steve preached such a good sermon, but because the Holy Spirit responds to the movements of your heart. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. It's not syllable. Now, I'm not saying you should stop saying in Jesus' name at your end of your prayers. Keep saying that. That's probably biblical. But you need to understand that in Jesus' name is a whole lot more than saying it right. It has nothing to do with what I say. It has everything to do with where I'm standing. You know, all sorts of scriptures will make more sense when you get this. You know, even baptism. I'm allowed to preach this here because I know how he baptizes. I won't say this actually in a lot of places, just so you know. But even baptism. You know, Jesus, remember Jesus, he said, go into all the world, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. How many read that one? It's in red, right? So you know it's true. Have you ever noticed how every single one of his disciples disobeyed him? Anyone ever noticed that? Like every single one of the apostles went out. In fact, there's not one person in the New Testament who ever mentioned Father, Son, or Holy Spirit in a baptism. 2 weeks later, Peter gets up and says, each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And Cornelius starts speaking in tongues. He says, I order these men to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He didn't think they were allowed to be speaking in tongues until they were baptized in the name of Jesus. Guess what? Holy Spirit does whatever he wants. But Paul did the same thing. He found a bunch of Christians who didn't have any power in their life. He said, into what were you baptized? And they said, well, we had John's baptism. If you told me you were baptized by the same guy who baptized Jesus Christ, I'd say, sign my arm, man. And Paul says, not good enough. It says he rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. And then they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. Philip goes out and heals the sick and does all this. And everyone who listened to him preach, he preached on the kingdom and the name, the Bible says. He had a two-part message. They heard him preaching on the kingdom and the name, and they were all being baptized, men and women alike. And it says they were simply baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, why on earth, when Jesus said, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, why did everyone disobey? Because they knew what the name was. And we figured he meant syllables. And so for the last 1,700 years, we've been baptizing just about everybody in the name. It was the Catholics who started it. No offense. I love the Catholics. God bless them. But they missed it on this one. For 1,700 years, we've been baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with no mention of Jesus Christ. Hello. Why in the world did all the disciples, and for about the first 300 years of Christianity, everyone was baptized in the name of Jesus? And they had power encounters with God. Because when Jesus said, go baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, what they heard was, go baptize them into the glory of the Father, into the glory of the Son, into the glory of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so they did. And why did they say Jesus when they baptized? Because that's the name that all the glory is connected to. Hallelujah! You wanna cast out a demon, do you say, in the name of the Holy Spirit, come out? No. You wanna heal the sick, would you say, in the name of the Father, be healed? No. The power is connected to the name above every other name. And so when you understand this, I'm going to tell you something. As you go to the Word, as you study the Word, look at the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a place. And as we press in and as we worship, and by the way, your pastor will baptize you again if you want to do it again. I know he baptized people in the name of Jesus. I found that out first before I said that, because I know that somebody's going to want to get baptized again. I got baptized again when I turned 40. I had a bunch of, I saw this in the Word. I got so excited about it, I started asking my friends to baptize me. I said, I wanted to get baptized in the name of Jesus. But all my friends said no. Even my pastor, spiritual father said, no, I think you're getting into the semantics. Then I heard this one guy in Alabama, Paul Keith Davis. Anyone hear him? I heard him preaching one day on a YouTube video. And he said, you know, really, if you want to be biblical, we should be baptizing in the name of Jesus. And I said, I knew it. I told my wife, I said, no one will baptize me this way. Man, I wish I knew that guy. And on my 40th birthday, my wife came up to me and she said, hey, Juan, you know your present? I said, what's that? She said, I wrote a letter to Paul Keith Davis. I told him you were his biggest fan. And I said, he really wants to get baptized in Jesus' name. And I was just wondering, if I was to fly my husband to Alabama, would you baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ? And he said he'd be honored to. So my 40th, 7 years ago, my gift from my wife on her 40th birthday, she flew me to Alabama, and I was baptized in the name above every other name. And since then, I've baptized about 1,000 people in the name of Jesus. You saw that video with people coming out of that 16-foot hot tub? We baptized 291 people this year at our gathering in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you something. It's not about, and it wasn't about getting the syllables right. It's about a revelation that the name of the Lord is the glory of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a realm, and that we want to press into it. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up? Hallelujah. We're going to open up. I only preached for an hour.